بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لما خلق الله تعالى آدم عليه السلام قال اذهب فسلم على أولئك نفر من الملائكة جلوس فاستمع ما يحيونك فإنها تحيتك وتحية ذريتك فقال السلام عليكم فقالوا السلام عليك ورحمة الله فزادوه ورحمة الله متفق عليه أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that when Allah سبحانه وتعالى created Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام he instructed him saying اذهب go فسلم على أولئك نفر من الملائكة جلوس and give salam greet that group of angels which are sat there فاستمع and then listen carefully استِمَعْ listen carefully مَا يُحَيُّونَكْ to what they reply to you, to how they greet you, because that will be the greeting for you and for your progeny. Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام went to this group of angels and he said السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ to which they replied السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ فَزَادُوهُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ so they in reply to Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام increased by saying وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ Adam alayhi salatu wasalam only said assalamu alaykum and they replied assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. One of the verses which were explained in the very beginning of the book of salam was wa idha huyitum bi tahiyatin fahayyu bi ahsana minha aw rudduha. When they greet you with a greeting then fahayyu bi ahsana minha greet them with a better greeting aw rudduha or at the very least, reply with what they greeted you with. If they said, Assalamu alaykum, then فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا Say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If they said, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, then you say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Try and give more. And if they say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then obviously you will return what they said to you. And if a person was greeted with assalamu alaykum, and in reply you were to say assalamu alaykum alone, this is also enough. But a person should try and greet with more than what he was greeted. But it ends at assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went to this group of angels and he greeted them, he only said assalamu alaykum. Now question arises that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he only says assalamu alaykum. The ruling of salam is, so the fuqaha and the jurists have differed whether it is wajib to say salam or not. And the strongest opinion is that it is not wajib, it is not incumbent upon a person to do salam. However, it is a very meritorious act. So a person should try and do salam. But once somebody has done salam to you, now to reply it is wajib. Now for a person to reply to this salam, it is wajib. Unless he is engaged in the recitation of the Quran, he is in salah, etc. But in normal circumstances, if a person does salam to you, it is now wajib for you to reply. If a person texts, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then you must also reply, Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, the ruling of salam is that it's not necessary to do. But if it is done to you, now you are sinful if you do not reply. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was a Nabi, and the habit of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is that they would always practice on azimat. They will always practice on the more meritorious but the more difficult ruling. For example, performing the sunan in safar when a person is traveling. Besides the two sunnah of fajr, the rest of the sunan are omitted. Because the two sunnah of fajr salah, before the fajr salah, they are akadu sunan, they are the most emphasized sunan. They are not omitted in safar and in during a journey. But besides that, all the sunan are omitted. Now a person, he is traveling
And he has stopped at a place and he is staying there. And he is not technically a traveler. A person, if he stays for 15 days or more in a particular locality outside of his own locality, 48 miles plus, he becomes a traveler in the eyes of Sharia. Now his salah will be halved. Every 4 raka'at salah will be halved from 4 to 2. Dhuhr salah 4, Asr salah 4, 2, Isha salah 2 also. So look, there is some leeway in how much salah he has to perform. And he also does not have to perform the sunan of salah. The 4 raka'at before the Dhuhr salah, 2 raka'at after, the 2 after. He doesn't have to perform these. But if he does so, then he has practiced on what we call azimat. We have rukhsa, leeway, and azima, the more difficult of the options that a person had. So the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, they would teach according to rukhsa. They would make sure that the ummah is aware of rukhsa. They would make sure that the ummah is aware of the leeway which is available to them. But they themselves would practice on azimat. They would themselves practice on that which is more difficult for the more reward. But they wouldn't instruct the ummah at large to practice that. Why? Because some people are weak, some people are strong. So the advice is that you should try and practice on azima. But the rukhsa is available. So if a person needs, then he can omit. So a person, if he is on a journey and he has stopped at the motorway and you need to get going, perform your fard and get going. But you are at the motorway and you have performed your fard and your friend, he has gone to use the bathroom and you are sat there, then perform the sunnah. So this extra is azimat, is extra. You don't have to do it. So similarly, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by this salam that he would be given, because the ummah was to then follow this salam, that is why he greeted with the bare minimum. This is why he greeted with the bare minimum. And the angels, they replied with Assalamu alayka wa rahmatullah. So we learn from there that you can say Assalamu alayka if there's one person, if there's two people, Assalamu alaykuma. And if there's three, then obviously Assalamu alaykum. But even if there's one person, you can also Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And like I said, the most preferred and the most meritorious form is that a person gives the full salam. For each salam, each reply that you give, you will be given 10 rewards. So it doesn't take much to say wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, but you will increase your reward by 20. So we should be greedy when it comes to increasing our bank balance of the hereafter. We are very eager to find places where we can invest and the return is good. You have to invest little and the return is much. We are very eager for these places. But when it comes to the hereafter, our mindset works the other way around. Do I have to? If I don't do it, will I be sinful? Let's change our mindset. That when it comes to the hereafter, we want to increase our bank balance. Imagine it like as an investment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased the souls, the beings of the mu'mineen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. And he has purchased their wealth. If they present their lives and their wealth, that which is near and dear to them, they sacrifice it and are ready to give that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purchase them, that from them. And what will he give them in return? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in return give Jannah. So whenever it comes to practicing on something, then the nafs is very lazy. Our inner self is always very lazy. But if you do a little bit of talking, a little bit of conversing with this nafs, then things start to become easy. You're walking on the street and the eyes want to look here and there. Speak to the nafs. Speak to the nafs that, what are you trying to get by looking at the opposite gender? What are you going to gain and what are you going to lose? When you look here and there, what are you going to gain and what are you going to lose? You are going to gain a moment's pleasure. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, somebody said to him, when Hazrat encourage that, you know, try and keep control of your gaze. He said to Hazrat that it's very difficult to look away. It's very painful. So Hazrat said, no, looking is more painful. So he said, how? So he said, when you look, you get a moment's pleasure. But thereafter, that burning inside continues when you go from there and you cannot, you know, connect to that female that you were attracted to. She's gone now, you can't do anything. So over and over again, this thought is coming in your mind and you are suffering. And then you have to deal with the fact that you disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to deal with the weight of sin. So yes, for a moment, there may be pain in looking away. But the pain in looking is more. And the pleasure in looking away is more than there is when you look. How? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith that the person who guards his eyes, يَجِدُ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, this individual will taste the sweetness of iman. He will feel a contentment in his heart. You know, when we perform salah, we don't enjoy our salah. When we engage in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't enjoy. On a day-to-day basis, we don't feel a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because my friends, this sin of the eyes, it is a sin which breaks this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, he would say that the person, if he wants the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wants his heart to become such that he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does he describe the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, those who believe and they have extreme love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on their heart and minds at all times. If you want this, as a Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that a person who wants this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will have to safeguard his eyes. And he says that if a person does much ibadah, much worship to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he doesn't safeguard his eyes, then all this spiritual warmth, this spiritual air-conditioned air that he has built in his heart, he will let it out immediately through the eyes of his window. A person, he sat in a room, it is the winter, and he heats the room up. Or it's the summer and he cools the room down. This cool air, this warm air, if he keeps the window shut, then he will be able to benefit from this good environment. But if he opens the windows and then he turns the heating on and the windows are open, you know, fully, then he will not be able to benefit from the heating. Similarly, we do so much ibadah. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. And we may even do it with this focus. One is, the first step is that we need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just for reward, but because we want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going into sujood right now because I feel that I'm indebted before the favors of my Allah. There is a difference between this sajda and the sajda that you have to perform salah. You have to perform salah. There is a difference between this. So worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this objective in mind, that I want to come close to Allah. So I want to build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now, let's say we have got to that stage. If we do not make this an objective for ourselves, that we wish to protect our glance, whether that's on the street, whether that's on the mobile phone, but protecting the glances from evil, you know, looking at the opposite gender. If a person doesn't do this, as a Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala would say, that this individual, he will never be able to achieve this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not be able to gain it. Because he is, all this warm, comfortable air that he is building in his heart, he's letting it out through his eyes. So my friends, we have gone off topic, but this sin of the eyes, it's a very poisonous sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ النَّظَرَ سَهْمٌ مِّن سِهَامِ إِبْلِيسَ مَسْمُومٌ. This eye, this glancing here and there, it is a arrow from shaitan's poisonous arrows. What's the difference between a normal arrow and a poisonous arrow? If a person is hit with an arrow and he takes that arrow out and he stops the bleeding from the wound, then all is done and well. But if the arrow is poisonous, when he takes out the arrow and he closes the wound up, then even the harm will continue. A person, he has been struck by shaitan's arrow, by sinning. So now he has been struck, but he removes that sin. He looks away, he goes now. He has stopped casting this lustful glance. But now the poison is working. Her thought is always coming in his mind. He is fantasizing in his mind. Why? Because shaitan's arrow of the lustful eye, it is a poisonous arrow. And if a person, he continues to look away, Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah, used to say something very frightening. He used to say, ki humko to badnazri ka falij lag chuka hai. We have suffered a stroke when it comes to looking at here and there. What does he mean? That it doesn't even affect us now. Now we don't even feel anything. We don't even realize that we are doing this sin. It is a sin, a great sin, but we don't even realize. It's just normal. So let's make a firm resolution. My beloved and dear Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, Shaykh Muhammad Salim Darad Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he says that this lustful glances, the only way to tackle this is, number one, build your spiritual stamina. Azkar, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good company. But he says that when it comes to the moment, you will have to use that ability that you have built through remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through good company. You will have to exert your willpower and force yourself. And he says that slowly, slowly, the ability to force yourself to look away, or the ability to force yourself to control your gaze, it will increase slowly but surely. First you will start that one out of ten times you are able to control your glances. 9 out of 10 times you looked. Next week you will assess and you will find that 2 out of 10 times you looked. 3 out of 10 times. And eventually a time will come where if by chance you look at the opposite gender, you will immediately feel inqibad. You will immediately feel discomfort that, you know, I've filthied my eyes again. So let's make it an objective. Let's assess. Until you don't take stock, you won't know where you are standing. At the end of the day, check that how many times was I conscious about making sure I don't look here and there. And if need be, write it down. Or at least make a mental note of it. And the next day, look at it and say, today I need to beat this number. And the next day, look at it again and say, I need to beat this number. And again the next day, look at it and I need to beat this number. My friends, if we keep doing this, then it is not my words, it is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When a person, he builds this ability and he controls his gaze, then the promise from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is, يَجِدُ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. He will experience the sweetness of Iman. He will feel good about himself. If you are not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will feel good. We only understand that, you know, in following deen it's difficult, there's no enjoyment. There is enjoyment. You will enjoy yourself. Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala, the Khalifa of Hazrat Hanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, he would say that, let me give you a scenario and prove to you that there is sweetness and enjoyment in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though to get there, you may feel discomfort. He says that you have come back from a journey. And it happens sometimes, we've come back late and we get into the bed, we've set the alarm for Fajr Salah also, and we're just about to nod off into sleep, and then Shaitan comes at that time and he reminds, but you've got your Isha Salah. You still need to perform your Isha Salah. Now, if we fall for it, there's that guilt. How are you going to sleep without your Isha Salah? You're going to sleep without your Isha Salah. But if a person, he forces himself and he gets up, he performs wudu, and he performs his Isha Salah, he performs his Sunnah, he performs his Witr, when he gets back into bed the second time, he will get back into bed and he will feel good about himself, that I performed my Isha Salah. I didn't give in to my nafs. I didn't listen to Shaitan. So in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, initially there is a difficulty to be undertaken, but after that you will enjoy. And in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a brief moment of pleasure. There is a brief moment of pleasure. If a person commits zina, if he commits zina, then how long will he enjoy this zina for? And the feeling that he will have to experience after this zina in this world of guilt, that it will be very long lasting. And then the pain that he will have to suffer in the hereafter if he does not repent will be extremely tormenting. So the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it entails a little bit of difficulty, but it is very sweet. And the pleasure of the nafs and one's base desires, it is for a short moment very enjoyable, but it brings with it a lot of guilt. It brings with it a lot of pain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make this controlling of the gaze a objective. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to focus on this. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our glances. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Any question?
This is something which is very rarely spoken about.